Thank you. This feels a little bit odd because we've gone from professional military men through reservist military man, all professional to part-time wargamers to just a professional soldier at the end. I have no wargaming credentials whatsoever. So the caveat here is if you're asking me difficult questions about the wargaming handbook, it was written in collaboration and the authors are liberally spread around me and close to hand. So when it gets difficult, I'm very happy to have the difficult questions, but I'll pass them on. So what I wanted to do today was just very quickly launch the book. It's actually out there. We do not have hard copies of it yet because it hasn't yet got through the publishers, but that will happen in due course. It's only going to be that size, very straightforward. Everything we write at DCDC is designed to be read with a cup of coffee, and this is no different. And it's here really for you guys as a tool. It's unclassified. You can get it on the web, and I'll tell you exactly where to find it. But it is not here for the professional, is really what I'm about. It's more about enhancing the knowledge of people who aren't familiar with wargaming. Let's see. Okay, so what's the background and purpose? Well, I think you've heard from speakers today already about Vice Chief's initiative to drive wargaming through the military and to reinvigorate wargaming. I think reinvigorate is the right word. Wargaming has been around. So that's Vice Chief's line, and that you'll find in the front of the book. And the purpose, it's a guide. It's not doctrine. It's just purely a guide to assist. And it should introduce people to the art of wargaming. What's really useful is at the back, we've got a whole lot of an annex with some examples and some points of contact, so that if someone was to pick the book up, it would give them a start point as to where they were going. I throw this up because at the moment we're in the business of the Chalka implementation program, and so a lot of what we're looking at is important, and I think wargaming plays right into this space. These are the sort of headlines that I've ripped out of the Chalcott report. They form the basis upon which I do quite a lot of work at the moment. It's about understanding. It's about foresight, and it's about effective decision-making. Wargaming gives us that. Wargaming allows us, for me personally as a professional soldier, to see the second and third order consequences and effects that my actions are likely to take. And if it's done properly, then there's every possibility that we will reap the benefits. So the book, we'll go back to the book again, scope, chapters very straightforward laid out there, introduction to wargaming, the fundamentals, the types, the variants, the context, the processes, and it's, as I said, the annexes of the case studies. The audience is primarily aimed at the military audience, but not solely. And we hope that we will be able to use this to roll out to get other government departments to get engaged in the war games that we're going to conduct. So what I thought I'd do is just give you an example, personal example for me, of where wargaming absolutely played out. You need a little bit of the background here to understand what's going on. Panjwe in Afghanistan, in the southern state of Afghanistan, is to the west of Kandahar. It's totemic to the Taliban. It's where Mullah Omar stood up. It's where Mullah Omar was born, allegedly. It's where he stood up and put the cloak on and said, "I am now the Taliban." It's where... So for the Taliban, it's totemic to their campaign. So in May, in Kandahar, we got together with a number of people and we conducted a war game. So Matt, you were looking for times when you actually had tangible evidence of wargaming being successful. This, I think, is one of them. So just looking at the diagram here, behind this chap here, that bloke there is an American general called Ben Hodges, who's commander US Forces Europe at the moment. At that time was one of the ops guys in our headquarters. General Carter, current CGS. General Rodriguez. This chap here is really interesting. This chap here is Bishmullah Khan. Bishmullah Khan was a mujahideen. At the end of the Afghan conflict, when the Russians left, the new Afghan army emerged, and it merged mujahideen leaders with professional Russian soldiers, Afghan Russian soldiers. This chap here, General Zarzai, commander of 205th Corps at the time. So what you had in the room was someone who had been a professional Russian soldier with the Russian or the Afghan forces in Russia when the Russians were in Afghanistan, against somebody who had been effectively a terrorist, fighting over a piece of ground, Panjwe, to the west of Kandahar. This chap here is the chief of the Afghan National Police, or the ANCOP, a guy called Lieutenant General Mangal. And I think, my memory fails me, I think he was also part of the Mujahideen organization. So before we were going to go into Panjwe as a sort of coup de grace of the campaign in 2010, we held a war game where effectively we went through some of our plan. We looked at some of the scenarios without exposing too much of what was going on with two people who'd fought over that ground. And what became very evident to us very early on was the plan that we were going to initiate through our military training was not dissimilar to the plan the Russians had invoked some years before, which clearly had not worked terribly well. And what was fascinating, sitting in the room, and what you can't see is the myriad of people who were around this side of the table advising and giving sort of direction. What was fascinating was watching this chap here explain how he had worked his way up the riverbed in the Helmand River into Kandahar to place devices to disrupt the Russians, while this chap here was going, "My God, I must have had you in my sights, and how did we miss you?" The end result of this whole process, and this chap here is an American civilian from USAID, so we had the Pemisi building blocks in there looking at clear, hold, and build. The outcome of this war game was that we went, rather going east-west, which the Russians had done, we went north-south. We came off Highway 1 with 101st, and we battered straight down to the Rajasthan Desert. We cut the river valley in places which geography allowed the stopped the Taliban from exploiting, and we did it without loss of life. We had casualties, but we did it without loss of life, and we did it really rapidly. And by all accounts, the Taliban in the area were slightly surprised. So a successful war game. The second picture, which I put behind there, was we built a better model by the time we got to September when we were actually in Panjwe. And that was where we conducted both a rehearsal concept and a war game where we got everyone together to ensure we knew exactly what we were doing before we actually launched the final attack. Okay, that's my little dit. That kind of explains why war game is important, why I think war game is important. It avoids, it reduces the risks that we're taking. We take risks in the military, but we don't take unnecessary risks. At least that's the way I look at it. Very cost effective. Didn't take much to get people in a room in Kandahar for an afternoon and to talk about how we were going to conduct the campaign. Absolutely, working with our Afghan brothers. Hamkari is Pashto for cooperation. That was us working with the Afghans together to reduce the friction that is inevitable in these sort of situations. And we exploited the innovation of the art of war, because we were sitting there with two experts who'd genuinely fought against each other in that terrain. And of course, it exposed a whole lot of new factors to us. Applications, I work in DCDC. We write doctrine to educate the army, or the military organizations of the future. This is about teaching people. If we can learn these lessons in classrooms and staff colleges and in training academies before we go on the ground, so much the better. Wargaming, there isn't always a lot of time to do it when you're in operations properly, but it's something that sometimes gets sacrificed, but to the detriment of the operation, in my experience. That concludes all I have. Oh, sorry, final slide. Click through these very quickly. All right. All of this is open source, so if you go to our web link, government web link there, you will find the Wargaming Handbook already on the web. If you have access to the Defence Gateway system, if you go to this link here, you'll find all of our publications. You'll find most of our publications here, apart from the OS ones. But everything is published here, and here you'll find things like the Decision-Making and Understand, JSP4, which is a really good book about how we make decisions. You'll also find things like our red teaming guide, etc. So a whole raft of literature, and again, all of them written to that size to be read with a cup of coffee. That's my last slide. Thank you very much.